Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as we face the issues. We'll be talking about an issue that is, how would you say, controversial, to say the least, especially this season of the year. We're going to be talking about today the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Ponder that for the next several moments as we are discussing that subject. We'll be looking at it from a biblical perspective, of course. We'll be analyzing some of the diatribe that's in society today and the arguments against Jesus Christ being God come in the flesh. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we're talking about it from a biblical perspective. It's called the truth. God's word is the truth. And Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus made a statement to John 14:6, I am truth. And then he, if you would put it in the Youngblood vernacular, he ties the loose ends together in John 17:17 when he says, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the word of God that is truth. We can talk about things from an ideological, political bent. We can talk about them from denominational dogma with the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations and argue them all we like. But the final arbiter, the final authority, the final determiner of facts in relationship to spiritual things, the church, governmental modus operandi, and why we're here as human beings, but it's not founded on the Word of God. It has no value. I suggest to you the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God as the final authority. That is looking at it from truth. In fact, it was George Orwell that so many years ago made the statement, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And so that's what we're finding in our world today, especially if you look at Nancy Pelosi. She was asked recently, by the way, do you hate President Trump? And she was saying that she prays for the president. One of the reporters said, do you hate President Trump? You need to go back and pull that up and we'll look at the video clip. She got bent out of shape. She got fiery mad. And she said, my Catholic faith won't let me hate anybody. She doesn't call up her Catholic faith, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to murder by way of abortion and the sodomite lifestyles that she promulgated and pushed in House Bill 5. But that's another story for another day. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to announce to you that this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of brands for the homeowners like Honda and Echo. They carry the full line of landscape lawn care equipment for the homeowner as well as for the professional landscaper. Tools for Time also carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. They have the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff to explain to you how to use each of the pieces of equipment that they market and sell. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. 11291 Old San Augustine Road is located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. It's the location of the gigantic American flag flowing. Find the flag, and at the base of the flag, you'll find Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com. That's toolsfortime.com. www.thefaithfoundation.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have Dr. Neil Phelps with me today. And Dr. Phelps is a Bible College and Theology professor in Conservative Theological University, teaches Bible doctrine and biblical text. And we're going to be talking about today a subject that I believe some might look at it and say it's elementary or rudimentary as far as the things we'll talk about. But there are a lot of people today that disagree with, dogmatically reject anything called Jesus Christ and his deity. Ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate Christmas, it's a time to remember who Jesus is. It's a time to recognize that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. It's a time to, and a season of reflection on God's great love for us, that God himself came into the world in the form of man. That's God incarnate, and ultimately died on Calvary's cross to save sinners such as you and me. Ladies and gentlemen, in the modern so-called enlightened society, in the modern world in which we're living, man has simply decided that he doesn't need Jesus. If you'll notice, when you find this element in society and it permeates society today, many won't say that. Many won't say, well, I just don't need Jesus. But they live a life separate from, rejecting of the Lord Jesus Christ and anything about Jesus Christ. Some have completely rejected the existence of the person called Jesus Christ. Dr. Phelps, I find it fascinating and sad at the same time. Some say that Jesus was just a man. Some say that Jesus was simply a good teacher. Some say that Jesus was only an example for man and was emblematic of how we ought to live and did not exist as a real person. Multitudes today reject Jesus' divinity. In fact, the Pope recently said, he made a declaration, ladies and gentlemen, the Pope said that Jesus was not divine at all, that he is not God, and did not physically resurrect bodily from the tomb. Now, Dr. Phelps, if I can just pause for a moment for the benefit of our listeners, if a person makes that statement, is it possible to also say that they're saved?
That makes you wonder about their faith at all, whether there is a faith toward God and believing faith that or saving faith.
Yes. In fact, it's an enigma to me, ladies and gentlemen, if a religious leader of over a leading 1.8 billion, I believe it is, 1.5678 billion around the globe can make that statement. How can there be an affirmation or a statement of saying that that individual is even saved? Some say that Jesus was not deity at all. In fact, multitudes, even in many religious, quote, Christian denominational positions today, say that Jesus did not become deity until he was baptized. In John, the third chapter, when Jesus was baptized, then the statement is that that's when he took upon himself deity, that he was simply a man until he was baptized. In fact, the connotation there is that spirituality is brought on by baptism. And of course, that's another theological doctrinal debate and subject for a different era and time. But ladies and gentlemen, Dan Brown, some of you might remember that name. Dan Brown, several years ago, it's been several years ago now, I did a major research project in the refuting of Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code. But Dan Brown, in his book called The Da Vinci Code, by the way, God doesn't give us a Bible, and he doesn't put it in a code form. The Bible is not codified so that somehow, some way, you have to find out and figure out major code that you have to break the code to find out what it's saying. But several years ago, Dan Brown had a book called The Da Vinci Code. And in that Da Vinci Code, he said that Jesus was simply a man that ultimately married Mary Magdalene. They moved off to France and there produced offspring. And his statement was that throughout the world today, there would be the residuum of the offspring of Jesus from his physical birth, the physical birth of the offspring of Jesus that makes Jesus' lineage and heritage throughout the earth today. That's denigrative to the Word of God. That's a desperate, dark attack on the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some say that Jesus never existed, but it's just a fabrication by Christians to have a icon to worship today. In fact, the battle intensifies each and every year, Dr. Phelps. I call it a battle against Christianity, a battle against Christ, a battle against Christmas. Here's an article from Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel that refreshes the thought for this season. Liberty Counsel Matt Staver says, and I quote, "The war on Christmas is flaring up again. Wisconsin's Democrat governor just relabeled the state Christmas tree to call it a holiday tree." And he further says in his article, and one Wisconsin man revealed exactly why. Quote, "A Christmas tree implies Christianity and Christ," end quote. The Wisconsin resident who reportedly values inclusiveness told CBS outlet in Milwaukee, quote, "That is exactly what is behind the war on Christmas. People who reject Christ can't stand it when Americans celebrate his birth, which is when they try to turn it into something else, even ban it altogether." And then Matt Staver wraps up with the areas that you find that in today, ladies and gentlemen. He says, these threats include, let me read you the five areas of the threats against Christmas and the war on Christ and the Christian and Christmas. Atheist groups seeking to ban nativity scenes from public property. Secondly, senior living centers that prohibit residents from sharing Christmas carols in their facility. Three, public schools that ban students from wearing the Christmas colors of red and green. Four, school officials who censor religious words from Christmas carols. And five, retailers which profit from Christmas while presenting it, pretending that Christmas doesn't exist. I think that's probably the most laughable of them all. Christmas retailers wanting the money out of Christians' pockets, but are pretending that Christmas doesn't exist. If I can fold in this little, I would call it a parenthetical footnote to that statement, Dr. Phelps. It's been several years ago now. In fact, it's probably been 10 years ago since I stopped going into Target stores. Target stores refused to play Christmas carols and Christmas music. And my wife and I went there. We had two carts full of material and items that we had selected to buy for Christmas gifts. And I noticed that they were not playing any Christmas music at all for the hour or so that we're in the store. And I stopped one of the clerks and I said, "I noticed that you're not playing Christmas carols or Christmas music. Why is that?" And I said, "Is it the manager that says no, or is it a corporate policy?" She says it's a corporate policy because they tell us that Christmas carols, Christmas music, or even saying Merry Christmas could be an affront or could embarrass or could bother some of our customers, and we don't want to do that. And I said, "Where's your manager?" And she said, "You need to talk with him." I said, "Yes." And she said, "I'll find him." So she asked me to just park our buggies right there at the service counter. We did. And so she got the manager out. A young man came out, and he said, "Is there a problem?" And I said, "No, it's not a problem. I just need to ask you a question." And I asked the same question that I'd asked the clerk. And he said, "Well, it's corporate policy." And I said, "Do you agree with that corporate policy?" And he said, "Yes, I do. Because Christmas carols and Christmas music and saying Merry Christmas could offend some of our customers." I said, "Well, by you not doing it, it offends me. This is Christmas. These gifts that's in these two buggies here, we selected to spend God's money in our pockets with your store to give to loved ones as gifts for Christmas." I said, "If you're not willing to play Christmas carols and Christmas music or let your clerk say Merry Christmas, I'm not spending my money here." And he didn't say it in words, but his nonchalant, flippant attitude was, "I don't care." And so we walked out. We left the two buggies right there at the service desk. We've not been back since. And, of course, there's a whole lot of other reasons that I wouldn't go back in Target stores today, simply because of their lack of a moral standing for the customer and a lack of any recognition or protection for the dressing rooms and changing rooms and so forth for the ladies, but that's another full story in and of itself. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about who is Jesus Christ. We're looking at, by way of introductory thoughts, the battle against Christmas and a battle against Jesus Christ. But who is Jesus? Is Jesus God? Let me just take a moment, ladies and gentlemen. It's an elongated introduction, but it will just take a moment or two. I've had the privilege of teaching Christology. That's the study, the doctrine of Christ, for probably 30, 35 years or more in the college and the university. And in my lecture notes, I've just pulled it out to read to you what I would call an introduction to set the stage. And then Dr. Phelps and I are going to take a moment for the balance of this broadcast. We're going to look at scriptures. We're going to talk about who is Jesus. We're going to talk about, is Jesus mentioned in the Old Testament about his future coming? How long before Jesus was birthed did we find in the scripture the prophetic text about his coming? Does the scripture authenticate when he would be born, where he would be born, and what his name would be called, and what he would do, and why it's important for us to understand that? Ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you this portion of the introduction of my lecture course for 16-week study on who is Jesus, the doctrine of Christology. In the central figure of world history is Jesus Christ. From the birth of Jesus in a lowly manger in Bethlehem to the present time, searching hearts have found in Jesus Christ one who is worthy of worship. Jesus Christ has drawn all believing souls unto himself. From Genesis through the Revelation, Jesus Christ is the most important theme of the scripture, and almost every page is related some manner to either his person or his work in the future or the present. No other person is given more biographical information, attention than Jesus Christ. The Apostle John states that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written about Jesus, John 21:25, concerning Jesus' person and work. Nor the man lived as Christ lived, nor the man died as Christ died. We find in Christ the supremacy of love, righteousness, redemption. The full riches and divine revelation embodied in Jesus Christ are as measureless as the ocean, and his perfections as innumerable as the stars in the sky. Dr. Emory Bancroft said, and I quote, "To leave Jesus out of history would be like astronomy without the stars, or botany with the flowers forgotten." Horace Bushnell said, "It would be easier to untwist all the beams of light in the sky and to separate and to erase one of the primary colors than to get the character of Jesus Christ out of the world. The history of the race since its inception has been the history of the preparation of his coming. The Old Testament conceals Jesus through types and symbols. The New Testament unveils Jesus in his grandeur, his glory, and his greatness. Without Jesus Christ, you would have no Christianity. And may I add to that thought, you'd have no church, you'd have no Christianity, you would have no coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you remove the name of Buddha from Buddhism or Muhammad from Muhammadism, the entire doctrine of these religions would still be intact. But to take away from Christianity the name of Jesus Christ, and you would have nothing at all. Dr. Tim LaHaye says, "No one else, no king, no dictator, no scientist, no educator, no military leader has ever made a greater contribution to world history than has Jesus Christ himself." H.G. Wells, the English historian and novelist, whose five volumes of world history fill and all the prominent places of the shelves in almost all of the college and university libraries, gave more space to Jesus Christ than to anyone else. And Wells was a skeptic or complete atheist. But as a historian, he could not ignore the greatest person who ever lived. Perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, just a word or two from an old hymn, old song, gospel song. Back the days when Christian songs could be heard, understood, and had biblical content. An old song that says, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." So, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about who is Jesus today, I want us to think with a somber, serious understanding of the value of understanding who Jesus Christ really is. It really is inconsequential what you might think. It's inconsequential what you might disbelieve. The facts remain that the biblical record is the first, foremost, and final authority on the question of who is Jesus. Dr. Phelps, I believe as we think about and we talk about who is Jesus, we need to start, as I call it, from the beginning. We need to start with the question about who is Jesus Christ and what does the Scripture say about him? What does the Scripture say about his divinity? What does the Scripture tell us about his historicity and anything from the Old Testament pointing to his birth? Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. We invite you to call. Ask your questions. Perhaps you've got a dilemma about who is Jesus. Perhaps you've been taught false doctrine and you have not recognized it, but you're beginning to see that there are questions that need to be addressed. Perhaps you have not been faced with, confronted with, the question of who is Jesus to you personally. Not philosophically, not rhetorically, with a rhetorical philosophy, but what does Jesus mean to you personally? 831-0917. Dial that number at any time. That telephone call gets you straight through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can discuss your question and resolve those questions, which are very, very important today, especially this Christmas season when we think about who is Jesus. Dr. Phelps, in John 1:1, when it says, "In the beginning, the Word was with the Word was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What does that mean, and what does it point to in the beginning? And tell us something about that.
Well, that means that God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is from eternity past.
Yes,
it's his eternal existence. He is eternally the Son of God. See, God the Father and God the Son are one in their existence. For the Word, that means the Son, was with the Father in the beginning. That is, before all things were created. And according to the Scriptures in book of John, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." So this means that we have in Jesus one who is eternal in his existence.
Eternal in his existence. So, Dr. Phelps, for the benefit of our listeners, when we find in Genesis 1:1, "in the beginning," same term here, beginning, the Greek text, that's in the archaea, it means back and back and back in times past. So in the Scripture, in Genesis 1:1, "in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." I'm always fascinated with that, ladies and gentlemen, because you can find the corollary to that in Colossians 1, verse 13 through 18. In fact, when the Scripture says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," that the one that's spoken of there is God, Dr. Phelps, is Jesus Christ. Validate then in John 1, 1 and 2, where in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. We're understanding, ladies and gentlemen, what I want us to see is the picture. And it's difficult to give the totality of Christology in a one broadcast. For the next several weeks, we'll be dealing with the question, who is Jesus? To put the big picture, the big mosaic together for you to see who Jesus Christ is. Perhaps you've just looked at him as that little baby in Bethlehem. Well, there's nothing wrong with the manger scene, Dr. Phelps, but I've always found it antithetical to the reality of who Jesus Christ is. He's no longer a babe in Bethlehem. He is God come in the flesh. He is the creator, controller, sustainer of this universe. Dr. Phelps, share with us a little further about some of the biblical prophecies of the Old Testament that point to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then that's validated in the New Testament of the fulfillment of those Old Testament prophetic texts about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know multitudes of people do not tie the threads together to get the full fabric to understand that Jesus Christ is spoken of in the Old Testament in Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6, and several other places. So So, Dr. Phelps, tell us about those texts in particular in the Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6, and any other text that you think would be appropriate for our listeners to understand that the Old Testament is not just where Jesus arrived in the New Testament, not just talking about his birth in the New Testament, but what does the Old Testament say in relationship to the future coming of Jesus Christ, Yeshua Messiah, as King of Kings?
Well, I will begin today with a mention of the fact that he came in the fullness of time.
Yes.
And that has to do with Daniel's timetable. In the book of Daniel, chapter 9, the scriptures there point to the coming of the Messiah. And the coming of the Messiah would have to be according to Daniel's timetable, Daniel 9, 24 through 26. And in that passage, we find that Daniel had spoken about the history of the people of Israel and the future for Israel, and that God had 70 weeks for them. God determined there would be 70 weeks of time that would lapse then for the people of Israel until the coming of the Messiah. And we believe, according to the scriptures, that that 69th week has already been fulfilled. We're waiting for that 70th week, and when God will deal again with the nation of Israel. God has set Israel aside temporarily. And when Jesus comes, then we believe that God will then deal with them again. During the tribulation time, which is called the time of Jacob's troubles, God will deal with them, bring them to repentance, mm-hmm. and they'll trust in the Messiah.
Right.
So that's one of the places in the Bible. It's not the first, but it's one of those places in the book of Daniel. And it talks about the coming of the Messiah. And it pinpoints the very year, the very time that Jesus would come. That's AD 32. And then another thing about the coming of the Messiah, it would have to be before the destruction of the temple. Mm-hmm. According to Daniel, he mentions the temple that would be involved where the Antichrist would enter and bring about what Jesus talked about in Matthew 24 as the desolation of abomination. Well, the temple would have to be built or be in place before that happened. And so that was pictured, of course, in Antiochus Epiphanes. And it had to happen before AD 70, because at that time, Titus, the Roman general, brought his armies, and they destroyed Jerusalem.
Right.
They destroyed the temple. And also, it has to be before the tribal identity of Judah was lost. And that is so important. Judah could identify themselves, that is, the descendants of Judah could identify themselves, and that would be true until the destruction of Jerusalem and all the records. All the records were destroyed when Titus and his armies destroyed the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus, is of the tribe of Judah, the line of Judah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're going to continue our conversation today about the question, who is Jesus Christ? Is he just a man? Is he God come into flesh? Is Jesus Christ real? Or is he just a phantom of the imagination of man? Hang in there about 1 minute. We'll be back with you as we continue Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.